Thank you, Brother Rowland, for those kind words. And good afternoon, brothers and sisters. It's I'm feeling very unworthy to stand before you this day, but yet I feel thankful and honored for the privilege to speak to you today and to be among you, my brothers and sisters of the church. I think back, I hearken back to our reunion last year, and it seemed to me that there was a very clear theme that was running through the reunion last year. And to me, that theme was of the importance of God's people to prepare themselves spiritually for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there seemed to be a special emphasis on the need to prepare quickly, for we know the day in which we live. And our sister this morning was quite clear in her testimony of testifying to that, the day in which we live. I'd like to, in a way, continue with that theme in my sermon today. I'm going to start out by reading. I have a lot of scriptures to read. I'm going to start out by reading through about three rather quickly before getting into the heart of my sermon. And I'd like to start out by reading a few verses out of the Book of Commandments. And I'm going to read in the fifth chapter, just verses 1 through 3, a revelation given to Oliver Cowdery, given in Harmony, Pennsylvania, April 1829. A great and marvelous work is about to come forth unto the children of men. Behold, I am God, and give heed unto my word, which is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, to the dividing asunder of both joints and marrow. Therefore, give heed unto my words. Behold, the field is white, all ready to harvest. Therefore, whoso desireth to reap, let him thrust in his sickle with his might, and reap while the day lasts, that he may treasure up for his soul everlasting salvation in the kingdom of God. Yea, whosoever will thrust in his sickle and reap, the same is called of God. Therefore, if you will ask of me, you shall receive. And if you will knock, it shall be opened unto you. Now as you have asked, behold, I say unto you, keep my commandments, and seek to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion. Seek to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion. Seek not for riches, but for wisdom. And behold, the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto you. And then shall you be made rich. Behold, he that hath eternal life is rich. If you have your Bibles with you, you might open to First Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read the first six verses, verses 1 through 6. And this is our brother Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. And as to the times and the seasons, you have no need that I even talk about it. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Do we hear the words being called out, peace and safety, in today's world? There may be some that would like to talk about peace and safety, but I don't see an awful lot of evidence of it. Verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. The Lord calls us as his people. He calls us to wait, to watch, and to prepare ourselves. To prepare ourselves spiritually for the Lord's return. I'd like to use as a text this morning, Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The law and the word of the Lord shall go out from Zion and from Jerusalem. I've given a title to my sermon today. I don't always do that, but the title has something to do with one of our songs in our hymnal. The title I'm calling my sermon today is Israel, Israel, God is calling. Come to Zion. Israel, Israel, God is calling. Come to Zion. I'm going to be using the words from our hymn number 89. It seems as though it's not a hymn that we sing an awful lot. Maybe some would call it a depressing song, but I find it very uplifting myself because it does call us to the cause of Zion. It's hymn number 89, Israel, Israel. I'm going to be going through the hymn a line at a time or a couple lines at a time and reading some scriptures that seem to me go with the words to this song. And it starts out, Israel, Israel, God is calling, calling thee from lands of woe. He's calling us from spiritual lands of woe. Come out of Babylon. I'm going to go to, in the Book of Mormon, on page 317, Alma chapter 3. Alma chapter 3 on page 317. I'm going to read verses 57 through 63. And this is Alma speaking. I believe he's speaking to the Zoramites, but he's speaking repentance to them. I'm going to start with verse 57. Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them, and he saith, repent, and I will receive you. Yea, he saith, come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread and the waters of life freely. Yea, come unto me and bring forth works of righteousness, and ye shall not be hewn down into the fire. For behold, the time is at hand that whosoever bringeth forth not good fruit, or whosoever doeth not the works of righteousness, the same hath cause to wail and mourn. I know that these two verses are not much believed by the world today. As our brother mentioned this morning in his sermon, many churches, perhaps most churches in the Protestant world, will preach a simple doctrine of once saved, always saved. Once you have made that verbal commitment to the Lord, that's pretty much it. You're in. We don't believe that. And the Lord doesn't preach that either. 61. O ye workers of iniquity, ye that are puffed up in the vain things of the world, ye that have professed to have known the ways of righteousness, nevertheless ye have gone astray as sheep having no shepherd, notwithstanding a shepherd hath called after you, and art still calling after you, but ye will not hearken unto his voice. Behold, I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call you, yea, and in his own name he doth call you, which is the name of Christ. And if ye will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd, to the name by which ye are called, behold, ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd. Are we not members of the Church of Christ? Do we not call ourselves by his name? Will we hearken unto his word? God is calling. He's calling us from lands of woe. I'd like to go into the Bible, into 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I'm just going to read through verses 15 through 18. Very familiar words. You've heard them dozens of times. The Lord is calling us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And if there were many Antichrists when John was an old man, how many are there today? I'd say the world is pretty much full of Antichrists in our world. I'm going to go to the next words of hymn number 89. Babylon the great is falling. God shall all her towers o'erthrow. Come to Zion. Come to Zion. Ere his floods of anger flow. Let's go to Revelation chapter 18. Read some familiar verses there. Pardon me, I think I'm losing my voice already. Revelation chapter 18. I'm going to read starting with verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. You know what comes next. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Down to verse 7. "How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." Make no mistake, Babylon is falling. It's in the process of falling as we speak. I'd like to go to 3 Nephi in the Book of Mormon on page 663. 3 Nephi chapter 9. This is to us Gentiles, on starting with verse 101. "Woe be unto the Gentiles, except they repent. For it shall come to pass in that day," speaking of our day, I believe, "saith the Father, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds." Now, this is my opinion, but I believe he's referring to horses, trucks, trains, autos, our chariots, our autos, our ways of communication, perhaps our military bases. Verse 102, "And I will cut off witchcrafts out of thy hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images I will also cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the works of thy hands," our religious icons, our idols in churches, whatever our idols might be, will be cut off. 104, "And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. And it shall come to pass that all lyings and deceivings and envyings and strifes and priestcrafts and whoredoms shall be done away. For it shall come to pass, saith the Father, that at that day whosoever will not repent and come unto my beloved Son, them will I cut off from among my people, O house of Israel, and I will execute vengeance and fury upon them, even as upon the heathen, such as they have not heard." The Gentiles will be cut off, even as among the heathen, if we fail to repent and come unto the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Many in this nation nowadays want nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they want everything to do with the world. Down to the next line in hymn number 89. "Israel, Israel, God is speaking. Hear, hear your great deliverer's voice. Hear your great deliverer's voice." Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, I'm going to start with verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. I'm going to skip over to verse 15. They have no delight in the word of the Lord. Does that fit our country today? Verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth. Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Will we reject the words of the Lord? I know there are many in this nation that have. Many haven't, but many have. And as our sister said in her testimony this morning, the arm of justice hangs over this nation. Many people in this nation are listening to spirits, but they're listening to the wrong kind of spirits, the spirit of the evil one and the spirit of worldliness, rather than hearkening unto the Lord. The next line in hymn number 89, now a glorious morn is breaking for the people of his choice. Come to Zion, and within her walls rejoice. Are we among the people of his choice? Let's go back to the Book of Mormon on page 664. Chapter 10. Verses 1 through 7, and these are the words that follow the previous words that were talking of the judgment to come on the Gentiles if they don't repent. And in chapter 10, we hear these words, our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the multitude, and starting in verse 1, he says, but if they will repent, speaking of the Gentiles, if they will repent and hearken unto my words, and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them, and they shall come in unto the covenant, and be numbered among this, the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance, and they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob, and also as many of the house of Israel as shall come, that they may build a city, which shall be called the New Jerusalem. And then shall they assist my people that they may be gathered in, which are scattered upon all the face of the land, in unto the New Jerusalem. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also will be in the midst. And then shall the work of the Father commence at that day, when this gospel shall be preached, when this gospel shall be preached among the remnant of this people. Verily I say unto you, at that day shall the work of the Father commence among all the dispersed of my people, yea, even the tribes which have been lost, which the Father hath led away out of Jerusalem. Yea, the work shall commence among all the dispersed of my people with the Father to prepare the way, whereby they may come unto me, that they may call on the Father in my name. Yea, and then shall the work commence with the Father among all nations in preparing the way, whereby his people may be gathered home to the land of their inheritance. Includes not just the Jews, but also the repentant Gentiles will be gathered home to the land of their inheritance. The next words in hymn number 89, Israel, angels are descending from celestial worlds on high, and towards man their powers extending, that the saints may homeward fly. Angels are descending from celestial worlds on high. Let's go to Revelation. Words that we all know in chapter 14 of Revelation. Verses 6 and 7 of chapter 14 of Revelation. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. We know the Lord sent the angel Moroni to bring the news of this restored gospel. He sent John the Baptist to help in the restoration of the holy priesthood. And the Lord has used angels in many ways during this time of restoration. I'd like to go also to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and I'll be reading from the Inspired Version. Luke chapter 17, verses 34 through 38. Starting with verse 34. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord, shall they be taken? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is gathered, or in other words, whithersoever the saints are gathered, thither will the eagles be gathered together, or thither will the remainder be gathered together. This he spake, signifying the gathering of his saints, and of angels descending and gathering the remainder unto them, the one from the bed, the other from the grinding, and the other from the field, whithersoever he listeth. The Lord will use his angels to help in the gathering of his people for those that are unable to gather through their own means. The Lord will send his angels to gather his people together. The next line from from hymn number 89 says, Come to Zion, come to Zion, for your coming Lord is nigh. Your coming Lord is nigh. He's ever near. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4 and 8 and 9, starting with verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." And we hear that today. Sometimes people say, "Oh, nothing's changed. Things have always been, there's always been sin and evil in the world. There's nothing different today." Well, I beg to differ. I think there's a lot that's different today. And I think the scriptures bear this out, that the things we're seeing today have never been seen before, and we're ever closer to the Lord's return. Skipping down to verse 8. "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward," "not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants us all to come to repentance. But we know that his patience won't last forever. It's a couple of quick verses out of Luke. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, I'm just going to read verses 39 and 40. I know the other night Brother Leslie read this whole chapter. Well, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, Brother Leslie. I don't have time for that. And my voice wouldn't hold out anyway. Verses 39 and 40. "And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." You know, are we also involved in the cares of everyday life, our work, our school, the things we do? I know everybody seems so busy. Are we so wrapped up in our cares of our lives that we're not ready? You know, could we be caught in that snare that's mentioned elsewhere in Luke? Because of our involvement in the cares of the life, would we not be watching and be caught in the snare when the Lord returns? It says, "He cometh at an hour when ye think not." He wants us to wait, to watch, and to prepare ourselves. Be ye ready. The next words from hymn number 89 are, "Israel, Israel, canst thou linger still in error's gloomy ways? Mark how judgment's pointing finger justifies no vain delays." Do we say that my Lord delayeth his coming? I have plenty of time to get my life together and repent. I'll do it maybe next week or next year. The Lord would call us fools for thinking that way. Let's go to Alma. Alma chapter 16 on page 430. Alma chapter 16. Again, very familiar words. You've heard these hundreds of times. I'm just going to read verses 226 through 230. Starting with 226. And this is Amulek speaking to the Zoramites. You might remember Alma and Amulek spent a lot of time preaching to the Zoramites. And the Zoramites were dissenters, I believe, dissenters from the Nephites. They had the truth. They had the gospel preached to them, so they were not ignorant. They knew the gospel. They had been taught the gospel of Christ. But they were backsliding, and they had dissented. Starting with verse 226. "And now, my brethren, I would that after ye have received so many witnesses, seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify of these things, come forth and bring fruit unto repentance. Yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer. For behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Behold, the day of this life is a day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed." And brothers and sisters, we're in the same boat as the Zoramites. You know, we have not dissented from another group, but we are without excuse. The Zoramites were without excuse. They had had the gospel of Christ preached unto them. They knew the truth, and yet they rejected it, and they rejected their Lord and Savior. And shame on us if we were to do the same thing, if we were to backslide and get caught up in the things of the world and reject the word of the Lord. I'm going to go over to 3 Nephi chapter 8 on page 651. Page 651. This is our Lord speaking to those Nephites, speaking to his disciples and speaking to the multitude, and this is Jesus Christ speaking on page 651 again, 3 Nephi chapter 8. I'm going to start on verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church, among my people which do repent and are baptized in my name." Even so shall ye pray in my church, among my people. The words "meet together" oft are not being used there, but I think that's the implication, that he would that his people would meet together oft in his church and pray among each other. Verse 49, "Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and saith unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed." We must watch and pray always. Do we do that? I know I'm guilty of sometimes only praying at the usual times over meals and at bedtime, but the Lord would have us to pray continually unto him for our needs and to thank him for the things, the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. He wants us to continue in prayer continually. The last line of hymn number 89 is, "Come to Zion, come to Zion. Zion's walls shall ring with praise." We'll go back to the Book of Mormon on page 75. Speaking of his people, what he has in store for his people. This is 1 Nephi chapter 7 on page 75. I'm going to skip around. I'm going to start with verses 36 and 37. 36. "Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come and the righteous be preserved, even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be as by fire." The Lord's people will be preserved. There may be tribulation and trials ahead, but the Lord's people will be preserved. Down to verse 41. "For behold, the righteous shall not perish, for the time surely must come that all they which fight against Zion shall be cut off, and the Lord will surely prepare a way for his people." Skip over to verse 55 on page 76. "And the time cometh speedily that the righteous must be led up as calves of the stall, and the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion and might and power and great glory." Doesn't that sound wonderful, the righteous being led up as calves of the stall? I believe that the word stall is symbolic of Zion. 56, "And he gathereth his children from the four quarters of the earth, and he numbereth his sheep, and they know him, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd, and he shall feed his sheep, and in him they shall find pasture." The Lord is asking us to trust him, to trust the Lord, and to keep his commandments, and the righteous need not fear when that time of trouble comes upon us. I'm going to go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, I'm going to read verses, starting with verse 6, verse 6 of Jeremiah 31. "For there shall be a day that the watchmen upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, Sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. I'd like to close with a couple of things here in the Book of Commandments. In chapter 59, this revelation was given in the land of Zion, here in the land of Zion in August of 1831. I'm just going to read verses 3 through 5. I believe these are comforting words for the Lord's people. And he that is faithful in tribulation, the reward of the same is greater in the kingdom of heaven. Ye cannot behold with your natural eyes for the present time the design of your God concerning those things which shall come hereafter, and the glory which shall follow after much tribulation. For after much tribulation cometh the blessings. After much tribulation cometh the blessings. I have a song that I'd like to read the words of a song that I believe I read this song in Phoenix at the Phoenix reunion last November. But it's a song of Zion, composed by a sister named Arlene Buffington. Arlene Buffington and her family are members of the Church of Jesus Christ Bickertonites. That church having its headquarters in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And my wife and I have become quite good friends with the Buffington family and the Tarbuck family. Sister Buffington has a great gift. She's received well over 200 songs from the Lord, and most of those songs relate to Zion. And they're very zealous for the cause of Zion. And so I'd like to read the words to this song. And it goes along with a scripture, a verse that's found in Matthew chapter 24, verse 20. And it says in part, "But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter." And this song is titled, "Come Before Winter." Come before winter while summer wears on. Come ere the bridges and highways are gone. Come before traveling comes to an end. Come before winter, my friend. Come before winter, my friend. Come before winter and come before spring. Come while the birds in the branches still sing. Heed when the trumpets send out the alarm. Come before winter comes on. Come before winter comes on. Come before winter, a place is prepared, where heaven's own blessings on earth there are shared. Come, Zion's children, there's no need to fear. Come before winter is here. Come before winter is here. Come before winter, the trumpets resound. A land beyond measure, the Lord he has found. And he is parting the rivers for thee. Come before winter and see. Come before winter and see. I'd just like to leave you with the words of in the Book of Mormon. We're all familiar with them, those of us that receive a Zion's Advocate every couple of months. 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 187. And blessed are they which shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day. Blessed are they which shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day. For they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. Not only the gift, but the power of the Holy Ghost for those that seek to bring forth his Zion at that day. And if they endure to the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day, and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. I thank you, brothers and sisters, for your kind attention, and I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will bless us in our efforts to come ever closer to him in the days that lie before us. May God bless us each one, I pray.